Welcome to the NC4 Podcast. We exist to know Christ and make him known. Discover the power of a connected life by listening to this message from God's Word.
Good morning once again, everyone. If you're here as a guest, I want to welcome you one more time. My name's Ian. I have the pleasure of being the pastor here. And it's a joy to be together to worship and celebrate together today. Just as you're grabbing your seats, I want to begin the message with a little exercise that I encountered in a book I read recently. Now, I just want you to imagine these are semi-rhetorical questions, but I'm going to ask you two sets of questions. Here's the first set. Name the last five Oscar winners for Best Director. Name the last five Heisman Trophy winners. Name the top five richest people in the world. Name the last five Miss America winners. Name 10 people who've won the Nobel or Pulitzer Prizes. Not yet. Now, I'm not going to give you time to actually do that, but if you sit and try and do that, I think you'll find it's a little harder than you might assume. And the point is, none of us remembers the headlines of yesterday. And none of those categories are slackers. They are not second-rate achievers. These are the people at the very top of their fields. And yet the point is, the applause dies very quickly. Awards tarnish. Achievements are forgotten. So now I want to ask you a second set of questions. List a few teachers who aided your journey through school. Name three friends who helped you through a difficult time. Name three people who've taught you something worthwhile. Think of a few people who've made you feel special and appreciated. Think of three people you enjoy spending time with. Now, which of those two was easier? The people that make the greatest impact on our lives are not the ones with the most credentials, the most awards, the most money. They're very simply the ones who cared. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about making an impact with your life. We've been doing a series through the season of Lent called The Grand Narrative, and we've been looking at how the story of the Exodus is essential to understanding the meaning of Easter. Of course, Lent is the preparation season for the coming of Easter. And what we're learning is that in the cross, Jesus was accomplishing a new and greater Exodus to liberate humanity from the enslaving forces of sin and evil, to rescue us from the judgment that is coming upon the gods of this world. And our part is simply to trust the story, to respond to his invitation and to join him in his mission of putting the world back together. This is the grand narrative. This is the grand calling on all of our lives. And this is the impact that we're called to make in God's world. And so we've been reading the story of Moses, who was born a slave and became a prince, who went from rags to riches and from riches to rags again, and who becomes this unlikely, unqualified in some ways, hero in what God was going to do in the history of his salvation. This unlikely, reluctant person that God used to change the world. And so these are the kinds of stories that we love, right? This is Hollywood's bread and butter, this kind of stuff. But as we talk about impact this morning, my question is, what if you're not Moses? What if you're more like Aaron? And if you're just jumping into the story today, Aaron was Moses' older brother. And Aaron plays the supporting role to Moses. He's alongside him the whole time, but he's not the one in the spotlight. I don't think, can you think of a single movie made about Aaron? I can name a few about Moses, usually with Hollywood's leading man, right? There's no movies about Aaron. And yet, you look at his legacy, he leaves a massive impact on the history of salvation. So we're going to keep it short today, believe it or not, and we're going to look at five quick things that we see in Aaron that I think can help us get over our hero complex and make an impact in God's kingdom. All right, so the way we're going to do this, we're going to backtrack from where we are in the story in Exodus. We're going to go back to where Aaron is introduced in Exodus chapter 4. We're going to read starting in verse 10. And it says, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, please send someone else.' Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, 'Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he's coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand his staff with which you shall do the signs.'" I'm going to skip down to verse 27. "The Lord said to Aaron, 'Go into the wilderness to meet Moses.' So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak, and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered people together, all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they'd heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshiped." This is the word of the Lord. So we reread this introduction of Aaron, and I don't know about you, the question that I ask as I read that is, God, why didn't you just choose Aaron? Right? Moses puts up a fight. Moses is this kind of brat. Aaron is older. He wasn't a murderer, so he had that going for him. All right? He seems to already have been an elder of Israel. He was eloquent, and he was obedient. God tells him go, he goes. And he's happy about it. Imagine that, right? So God, why didn't you just choose Aaron? But there's a fallacy in that question. Because God did choose Aaron. The only thing is, he didn't choose him to be Moses. He chose him to be Aaron. So here's my first point. The first point, to make an impact with your life, you must learn how God made you and don't despise what God made. What happens to your heart if you go through your whole life thinking you're going to be Moses and you never are? Aaron could not be Moses. Not everyone can be Moses. In fact, no one can be Moses except Moses. And actually, the Torah says that no prophet like Moses ever arises again. That's a little play on it. Anyway, don't worry about it. So no one else was ever like Moses. And I just want you to notice one other thing here. Not only could Aaron not be Moses, but Moses could not be Aaron. That was the whole reason why Aaron comes into the story. Aaron had gifts and character traits that Moses lacked. And so the first thing that Aaron needed to make an impact was to recognize his own gifts and abilities. But the second thing that he needed to have the impact that he was made for was to not despise the role that God had set out for him. Because what would have happened if Aaron had looked at his gifts and said, "Well, I'm not Moses. God didn't choose me, so what's the point? I didn't make it. I'm never going to be the leader of the people of Israel." Not only would his life have not had the impact that it did, Moses would not have the impact that he did. In fact, the whole story would be completely different. And so watch out for that in your heart. Because we can all go there. We can all say, well, I know God's given me this and he's given me that, but he hasn't made me like so-and-so. He hasn't made me, you know, a pastor, or he hasn't made me, you know, or more likely they haven't made me a pastor or a manager or a leader or whatever it is. Fill in the title, fill in the person that you look to and compare yourself to. And we end up feeling dissatisfied. And what happens when you live in that dissatisfaction is you actually hold yourself back from giving yourself to the role that God has prepared you for. Because he hasn't made you to be like that person. He's made you to be you. There's a famous quote from Rabbi Zusa that says, at the end of this life, the question will not be, Zusa, why were you not Moses? The question will be, Zusa, why were you not Zusa? You're only in the position to make an impact when you learn both how God's made you and you learn contentment in playing the role that he's prepared you for. And so it leads us to the second thing that we see in Aaron. If we want to make an impact, we have to focus on lifting others up, not elevating ourselves. The people that ultimately make the biggest impact on history, and not only on history in a broad scale, but the people, as that exercise at the start shows, that the people that make the biggest impact on our individual lives are the ones that played a role in lifting us up somehow, encouraging us. Helping us rise to the things that are within us, the potential that's within us. And of course, it's very easy to make an impact if you focus on yourself, if you make the world revolve around you, but the impact you're gonna make is tearing others down, tearing the world down. And so to make an impact for good, it has to be focused on others. And that's both what you see in Moses and Aaron. But, you know, the difference between them is that Moses gets all the glory. Aaron is right alongside him the whole time. In fact, he does all the talking. He does all the signs for the most part. Did you notice that? And yet, Aaron doesn't get the accolades. Aaron was not the lead singer in the band. Aaron was the bass player. He was supporting this other person and their vision. And so there's great humility in that. And what I recognize is that even as we give ourselves to helping others, there's this danger. As we give ourselves to a cause that's bigger than ourselves, if we hold on to that thing within us that wants the spotlight, we can very quickly start to become bitter at the lack of accolades, at the lack of recognition. And in fact, there was a moment in Aaron's life, later on in his life, where that leaked in for a moment. And he began to ask, well, didn't God speak to me as well as Moses? Why is it all about Moses? And it if you go read it, it didn't turn out well. And he learned very quickly that life was not measured by those accolades. All right, and so it brings me to a third point, which is how do we measure impact? Because our culture, including in many ways the church culture, encourages us to measure impact by, it's my bad. Our culture encourages us to measure by something we call success. Okay, how do you measure success? Well, typically, it translates to the numbers, all right? Whether that's profits, whether that's awards, whether that's achievements. And in the church, that's very easily translated to conversions, attendance, tithing, and a pastor with a best-selling book. All right? Mine's not published yet. Okay, so there's something within us that doesn't quite like that. We realize, oh, there must be something more to that. So there's kind of a reaction against that, which is, well, we say, it's not about success. It's really about faithfulness. What matters most is not being successful in the world's eyes. What matters most is being faithful to God. And that's something that I've said a lot. It's something that I preach to my own heart. And I think that's healthy. But I wonder sometimes whether that can secretly become an excuse for being complacent. Secretly become an excuse for mediocrity. Because if you begin to take it as an excuse and you begin to say, well, it doesn't matter how well I do something. All that matters is my heart. You're at risk of becoming complacent, of letting yourself off the hook of what God has told you to do. All right? Tim Keller pointed out the more biblical way to measure is by fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Jesus said in John 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. And fruit that endures. Fruit that lasts." Because here's the thing. If you read the newspapers about the church, you find out it's possible to be highly successful while being unfaithful. The problem with business practices, successful strategies within the church, the problem is that they work. And they don't always require faithfulness in our hearts. But here's the thing. You can also be faithful while being successless. But to be fruitful, you have to have both. To be fruitful, you have to have both. And so Jesus continually pictures the outcome of our lives, the measurement of our lives by fruitfulness. And there's three things that the New Testament broadly describes as fruit. It does talk about conversions, but it also talks about Christ-like character as fruit. And it talks about charity, acts of love and compassion as fruit in the kingdom. So you look at Aaron. How do you measure him? He's not the most successful person in Scripture. He's not even the most faithful person in Scripture, if you think about it. And yet, thankfully, he wasn't measured by either of those things alone. He was measured by his fruit. And his life was fruitful. And it was fruitful beyond whatever what he would even live to see. And so, there's a freedom actually in measuring by fruit. Not by, if you measure by success, it can easily become crushing. If you measure simply by faithfulness, it can become an excuse for being complacent. But if we're God's gardeners, we need both. We have to be as skillful as possible, but we should also be utterly faithful. And yet the freedom comes in knowing that even as we give our all, the outcome belongs to God. Because even the best gardeners know that ultimately they rely on forces, on conditions beyond their ability to control. God sends the rain and the sunshine. So Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God brought the growth." So Jesus said, "Remain in me and you will bear much fruit." And so it leads me to my fourth point, and this is my least favorite. Having an impact will require that we be patient. Be patient and trust the story. If you read on in Aaron's life, the single biggest mistake he ever made was the result of impatience. Exodus 32, Moses goes up on the mountain to hear from God, and it says, when the people saw that Moses was taking so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us." Come on, Aaron, we got to do something. We have to make it happen. And Aaron gave in to the peer pressure, and it almost cost him his life. And yet, thankfully, again, that was not the fruit of his life. His overall character, we can see, was patience, because Aaron clearly had been prepared. He'd been faithful in his life up until this point. He was an elder of Israel. He was an eloquent man. He was priestly. And yet he makes the biggest impact in his life in the last third of his life. From ages 83 to 123. We have literally no information about Aaron before that time. And so just when you naturally assume he would be ready to retire from productivity, God releases him into the most impactful season of his whole life. And he plays a role in setting the people free from Egypt. And as a result, not only does he father the line of all of Israel's priests from then on, but he actually becomes a descendant and an ancestor of Jesus through Mary. And even more than that, the book of Hebrews has a whole section about Aaron, showing all the ways that Aaron was actually a picture of Jesus. In the end, what we're meant to see in his life is a pointer to Jesus. So just as Aaron carried the shepherd's staff to lead and protect the people and to save them from judgment, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, who gives my life so that they could be spared." Just as Aaron represented the people before God, Jesus is the Son of God who became one of us, empathizes with every human experience, and so he's able to intercede for us continually before the Father. Just as Aaron offered sacrifices of worship to atone for the people, Jesus became the sacrificial lamb to atone for all people, to take away the sins of the world. And so the fifth and final point here is that if we want our lives to have an impact, we need to ultimately give people Jesus, not ourselves. Don't give people your success. Don't give people your skill and your training. Give people the one who will serve them for their whole lives. Give Jesus away. Give Jesus, patiently bearing with people's faults, looking for fruit in their lives, not only your own success, your own glory, appreciating how God made you, being content where God placed you. And if you can do all those things and live your life in that way, I can guarantee, based on scripture, that your life is going to have an impact eternally for the kingdom. And so, of course, I'm sharing all these things in the spirit and the heart of what we're here to celebrate this morning. We're here to worship God and celebrate what God has done through Pastor Bob in all the years that he served here at NC4. And Bob, I didn't know you much before coming here, although your family did play a role in my family through Russ in particular, and my mom's health, and so there was a long-term connection familially there. But I didn't know you personally much before coming, and I have to say, I've told you this, but I've really come to admire you these past few years. And it's because of these things that I'm talking about here. So we jokingly called Bob the APP, the all-purpose pastor, because he can do everything. Like, basically everything on stage here he can do. He can preach, he can do communion, he can play the guitar, he can sing, he can do all the stuff. He can do weddings, funerals, he can do them Catholic style, he can do them Protestant style, he can do them Orthodox style. And so, I'm sure more people will share things downstairs. Bob actually has a ton of skills. Some of them that go under the surface that you would never expect. He can play bagpipes. But not only that, he had a successful career before ever entering the pastorate. He's educated, skillful in lots of different areas. And yet, what I admire about you, Bob, is that you learned seemingly a long time ago that was not going to be the measure of your life. That the measure of your life was going to be how you cared for people. Yeah. And ultimately, that is what you're known for. And we love to joke with Bob because he's very comfortable in who he is and who he's made to be. It's why he's comfortable coming to church in a kilt, which some would call a skirt. It's not a skirt. It's a kilt, okay? But you chose a life of fruitfulness, I believe. And you've told this, I've heard you tell the story of how early on, becoming a pastor, you had to decide that you were not going to reach and strive to be the main guy, to be the one in the spotlight. And what that meant was you chose not to try and be the one that gets the accolades, but what also comes hand in hand with that is that you knew you'd be the one who would still receive a lot of the criticism. And that's the tough part of playing that role. And yet what I want to tell you is you're one of the most other people-focused people I know. And you've impacted lives not because you chased acclaim, but because you chose to care. And anyone who's ever received care from Bob, you know he's never asked anything in return. And yet, I also know that behind the scenes, you've borne the brunt of a lot of criticism. Probably even ridicule at times. And yet, I also know from behind the scenes that you carried a quiet competence in everything you did. So I want to thank you for your patience. I want to thank you for your long suffering, for your care, for your service. Thank you for being an Aaron to the rest of us in whom we see Christ. Thank you for pointing us to Jesus. And we want to declare today as we dedicate this time that that's what you're going to continue doing. And I pray that like Aaron, this next season of your life would be even more fruitful, more impactful than what's gone before. And so all of us here, I just want to encourage you to emulate the Christ that you see in Bob. And you don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be the one in the spotlight to make an impact. You need to bear fruit with who you are and what you've been given. And for that, you need to be faithful to God. You need to be skillful with all that he's given you. But ultimately, you need to trust the story and trust that he is going to bring the growth and bring the fruit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the NC4 podcast. For more info, visit our website at nc4.org. We believe in the power of a connected life. If you prayed to give your life to Jesus today, we'd love to help you walk it out together. Just text the word Jesus to 610-816-6062.